Hey, everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a quick shot of romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
We've never done a quick shot by this author.
No, I guess we haven't.
And I would say, like, she is the queen, the high empress, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I call her a queen every time I refer to her, I think.
Yeah. So I'm kind of excited to do it because I love this series.
Same.
So on this episode of A Quick Shot of Romance, we are reviewing Vision in White by Nora Roberts. This is book one in The Bride Quartet. We'll link the synopsis of this book in our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Release date is April 28th, 2009. And even though this is several years old, more than 10, it holds up. There's some technology pieces.
Yeah, that's very minor.
But it's, yeah, like it's a BlackBerry.
An answering machine.
Answering machine. I think she uses a map in this book.
Is it in this one? Okay. Probably.
I think there's a map in this book, you know, which now we'd have GPS and whatever. So,
yeah,
but it absolutely all holds up.
Yeah, 100%. Other than the tech.
So the tropes are, this is a girl gang. I put this as friends to lovers.
I can see that because, I mean, they kind of grew up together a little bit and then they get to be a little friendly before it.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe it's more like acquaintance to lovers, but it's a small town-ish feel to it.
Yeah, and there's a group of friends that all kind of know each other, so it feels friends to lover.
Yeah, this takes place with weddings. Opposites attract because Carter and Matt could not be more different.
That is correct.
And they kind of have a meet cute. Or a re-meet cute.
Yes, they do.
And I didn't say it's a slow burn because it does pop at 54%. But there is, and I think that's why I say friends to lovers. Because there's definitely connections and world building that happen that give it those deeper connective vibes.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot going on about them coming back together and kind of getting to know each other again.
Yeah. This is interconnected standalones. There's four books in this series. Third person single point of view, which is all Nora Roberts writes.
Yes.
Have we ever gotten a dual POV from her?
Well, I mean, you kind of get Carter's point of view, don't you?
I guess a couple, like when he has her over to his place for that first dinner.
Yeah, I always like kind of consider it dual point of view because you kind of see his.
You do. Okay, so third person dual POV. put out percentage is 54%. Audio narrators. There is a single audio narrator, and it's Emily Durant. And third act breakup. Is it really a third act breakup?
I don't think so because they have a dark moment, but it happens
earlier. Yeah, she freaks out. She's a commitment phobe. Yeah, and she just freaks out.
Yeah.
And he's like really cool about it.
Carter is like rock solid.
He is. Okay, so let's talk about Carter first. We'll start with Carter because he actually, so this book, I say this is a girl gang, but this book really is focusing on the character arcs of the heroines throughout this series. Like it is their moment to shine and the dudes are kind of there to prop them up.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. And I think that's part of maybe why it feels like it's a single POV.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what I really love about Nora Roberts in her writing is even in the midst of chaos and in these moments, and we'll get to Mac because she's got some baggage. Sister is not perfect by any means, but Carter is there. He's her loudest cheerleader. He's okay letting her shine. He doesn't need to fix things for her. He just wants to be with her.
Yeah, he just wants to be with her, and he wants her to be with him. Like, it's, you know, he wants to support her.
He is a cinnamon roll. I would go as far as to say he is a golden retriever.
Yeah, I would agree. He's pretty golden retrieverish.
Yeah,
like, because he has no real,
no,
like, problems with anything. He doesn't like argue. He's like that silent type who just kind of just, he's there.
Yeah, he's solid. He's a good guy that shows up when he's needed. He pitches in whenever he can. And he just wants to see Mac happy.
Yeah, and I think the only time he pushes back is, like, you know, when she doesn't want to let herself be happy.
Right.
And because he knows he makes her happy. So
Carter is a local high school teacher.
Yes, at like the private school, I think.
Right, at the private school. It's the same private school they all went to. But Mac was a different kid than the other private school students.
She was, because her parents are terrible people.
They're terrible people. Her mother is absolutely one of those women that is chasing the dollars. She's looking for her next paycheck in a husband.
Yes.
And Max is the typical wealthy dad that just never shows up. Divorced mom. And when he divorced mom, he pretty much divorced out of Max's life.
Yeah. And he went on to, I think, marry someone else and have another child. And he doesn't really participate in her life really at all, other than to give her some random presents that she doesn't even use.
Yeah. And mom only shows up to support Mac when she needs something.
I wouldn't even say she supports her. She just shows up.
Just shows up and uses Mac.
Yeah.
So Mac and Carter, we talked about it a little bit. Like, I think one of the things I really like about Mac as a character is the way that she's written. She does not have, her growth in this book is small. Like, she's not, her life is not perfected because she's with Carter.
No, not at all. And she has, like you said, she doesn't have a huge, like, character arc. More of it is to do with, like, confronting her past and moving on. But yeah, she has a lot going for her. I mean, she's running a successful business with her best friends, and
yeah,
you know, she seems to have a lot of her life together, but
just I love
the relationship part.
I love the opening sequence, the prologue, the history that each of these books open up with. Because the concept of this book is, it is four best friends that have come together on one of the best friend's family estate that's been left to her and her brother. And they're turning it into a destination wedding venue in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yes.
And they're tailoring to high-end clients.
They are. And you get each of them doing a piece, and Max piece is the photographer,
and we get the cake baker, the caterer,
the florist,
and then the head wedding planner.
Yes.
So while Mac doesn't have this huge growth as a character, and she stays true to herself, I guess what I like is that she is flawless, or she has flaws, and just because she falls in love, she doesn't become flawless.
No, she doesn't. She still has, you know, her quirks and kind of, I don't even know if I would even call them quirks, but I don't know what the word I'm looking for there is. But yeah, she's still who she is.
Yeah.
She just has enhanced with Carter.
One of the things that drives me the craziest in this book is her obsession with her hair.
Oh.
Like, she talks about her hair a lot. But I was thinking about it, and Nora Roberts kind of does that sometimes with her heroines. She focuses a lot on hair.
Yeah, I didn't even catch it because I did the audio this time around and
Yeah.
I didn't notice the hair thing. That's funny. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, I did the audio also, but like she talks, she's got short hair and she talks about it being every which way. And there's lots of conversations about her hair. And I just thought
Funny.
that's a little weird.
Yeah, and I would say she does. I think Nora Roberts does do that because you'll typically get when she does a trilogy or even like This Is the Quartet or whatever, you'll get a heroine that has red hair or blonde hair or brunette. So you get like the gamut of the hair, and you'll get one with like long hair or curly hair or
Right, you
short
get the long
hair.
hair, the short
Yeah.
hair, the chestnut brown haired,
Yeah.
heroine. Hair must be a big deal for Nora Roberts. That's all I gotta say.
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, can we just spend a couple minutes? First of all, this book is been out there for a while, and so I'm gonna spoil it for a minute here. This might be, there's a grand gesture in the end of this book.
Yes.
And it might be one of the swooniest top 10 of romance grand gestures that have ever happened.
It's pretty good.
So tell everyone what happens in the grand gesture, because
No,
it's pretty
you tell it. You
fantastic.
tell it. It's better if you tell it. You tell it.
So Carter is there. He shows up for Mac, right? She's Carter's sister is getting married.
Yes.
And she, her mother is wretched and shows.
Yes.
And Carter runs interference.
He does.
Even at the potential, because of the family wedding that Carter's supposed to be there for, because it's at his sister's wedding.
Yeah.
And it just, he goes whole heart for Mac.
He does. He stands between her and her mother, whose name is Linda. So if I don't think we said it, but yeah,
Oh,
she
we
Linda's
didn't
like
say.
she's a terrible person. So
She's the worst. Well, and typically, so the last book in the series, her name just went out of my head.
Parker.
Parker is typically the one running interference for Mac.
She is, because she'll stand up to Linda and
Right.
not take any crap from her.
But this is, I think that this is the moment when Carter stands up to Linda and says, "Back off. You're out of line."
Yeah, like you're not here to support her. Like you're selfish and you need to pay attention to your daughter, who is a fantastic human being, and basically just like go away.
It's just, it really is one of those grand gestures that he didn't necessarily have to do it. Because other
No,
people would have stood up to her. Parker would have shown up. Other people would have stepped in.
yeah.
But he does it.
Carter's pretty fantastic, so.
He is pretty swoony. And I like that there's the opposite, that Nora Roberts really gives us the opposite of his family versus her upbringing and how he's still close, and the family dinner, and it really shows the difference.
Yeah, and I like the fact that she didn't go completely like he has a perfect family, because one of his sisters is kind of a brat, and so he doesn't have an absolute perfect family either. So it's not just like she provided this complete opposite. Like he has a family that's a pretty great family, but they're not perfect either. So
That sister was a piece of work.
she is,
I forgot
but
about
Mac
her.
handles her.
She does. She
So
does.
I kind of like how that worked out.
It works. Do you have a favorite part in this book?
Oh, I think it's their re-meet cute. So
When he shows up for the wedding appointment.
when he shows up for the wedding appointment, and Mac is before Mac gets there, she is startled by a cardinal running into the window. And so I don't remember how she ends up like without her shirt on. And so she opens the
Right.
door to
She tries to use
Carter
her
with
shirt to get the bird.
to get the bird. And so when Carter shows up for his sister's appointment for the photographs, she enters the door without a shirt on. So, and he is just completely befuddled. Like he has like no idea what to do, and it's adorable.
I think my favorite thing in this book, and pretty much this series too, are their movie nights, their meeting, the
Oh, those are
board
great.
meetings that they have,
Yes.
because this is like girl gang top
It
tier.
is. It is. They are one of my favorites. Like, just their whole like relationship between the four of them is fantastic.
Okay. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for reading Vision in White again.
Thanks for having me and reading it with me.
Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.